Father, here we are once again. We come with grateful hearts. We come before you, Lord, with seeking hearts. We come with ears to hear what the Lord would say to the church and to our hearts this morning. We thank you, Lord, for that which you have already done in our lives. As you promised you would build your church. We thank you for choosing us, incorporating us into your family. We thank you for what you are doing, for what you will do this day, for you are good. And it's your delight, Lord, to pour out numerous benefits and blessings, Lord, beyond what we could ask or think, to those who love you. And we believe, Lord, we'll receive again this morning from your hand. We hunger, we thirst for you, Lord. We wait upon you. We thank you we can pray these things with boldness because through him we have access to the Father by the Spirit. We come boldly, Lord, through that new and living way. Even the blood of the Lord Jesus. And so here we are, Lord, to receive again. And as we hear you speak, we pray that you'll give us the grace to respond wholly and fully with our hearts. And to follow that wise counsel, whatever he says to you, do it. So Lord, bless your people, bless us this morning again with your word, your spirit, and by so doing, bring greater honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I only have three words for you this morning. I have a three-word message, and that's it. Somebody just said to the partner beside them, "Boy, it's going to be a short meeting, isn't it?" He's only got three words. Reminds me when I invited Otonio Ayala, a pastor from downtown Los Angeles, to come and preach. He began his message by saying, "Soy hombre de pocas palabras, pero mucha explicación." I'm a man of few words, but much explanation. So I only have three words for you this morning. They're three words from Scripture. There are three words out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And there are three words in English that all start with the same letter. Three words that after this morning you'll never forget. Powerful words. Those three words are found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Mark 11, verse 25. "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." What are my three words? All beginning with the letter A. Anything against anyone. Forgive them. I remind you that this is red letter stuff. This is your Lord. This is your Savior speaking. If you have anything against anyone, you're to forgive him. Is there any wiggle room there? Any exclusions? Any exceptions? Anyone exempt that we can say, I don't have to forgive them? I don't have to forgive him. Or surely you don't want me to forgive her in light of what they've done to me. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. I'd say this is a pretty serious passage of Scripture, wouldn't you? How many of you are members of the AA Club? Triple A Club. Yeah, you know, Triple A, the American Automobile Association. Yeah, just one, two, three, okay. I believe that God today, by the power of His Spirit, is going to speak His Word to you and seek to bring every one of you into membership into the AAA Club. Whereby, according to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, we forgive anyone and everyone who has ever hurt or done any wrong to us. I go back to the sixth grade, and it was a very special time. It was the first godly influencer in my life. The teacher's name was Mr. Aberley. Back in those days, I was very smart. It's the only academic award I ever won, and at the end of the year, I was given the opportunity to request a book. Any book I wanted, they would get it for me as my reward for this academic achievement. The book I chose was Bible Stories, because every morning, Mr. Aberley would read a Bible story out of that book, and something touched my heart as I listened each morning. But the second thing he did was he led us in the Lord's Prayer. Do people know the Lord's Prayer today? Do the Lord's people know that which is commonly called the Lord's Prayer? Do you know the Lord's Prayer? Let's stand up. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads, and say the Lord's Prayer. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. What passage of Scripture does that come from, please? What gospel? Matthew. What chapter? 6, did you say? Okay, so you can sit down now. I'd like you to stand up. Not all of you. I'd like you to stand up. Anyone who can give me the next verse after the Amen. Quote it, not reading it. Quote it. Can anybody stand up and quote What comes after the Amen? Here it is. After the Amen, or Amen. I don't know, you're probably bilingual, but... Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'm convinced on the basis of these passages of Scripture that we're looking at this morning, that there are countless numbers of people in churches today who believe they are forgiven, but because they refuse to forgive those who have offended them, according to these verses, they are yet unforgiven. I believe this is very serious. This message I want to share with you this morning, it first came to me in May of 1994. I was in California. I was going to preach at a church. It was a Wednesday morning. We had a service that evening. I was in my bedroom preparing. I was on my knees just waiting on the Lord, seeking God's face. And what was on my heart was to preach from that passage of Scripture, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Mm-hmm. And the Lord spoke very clearly and very powerfully to me. And He said these words, "You are not free." And He began to reveal to me that I was harboring anger, resentment, bitterness in my heart to four groups of people. The first was my parents. And the reason I was so angry with my parents was because some months previously, my grandmother had died. My father's mother had died, and my parents didn't tell me. And I had a good relationship with my parents. There's no reason why they shouldn't have told me. But my parents didn't tell me that my own grandmother died. We received a condolence card in the mail from a friend saying, "So sorry to hear about your grandmother." The second person was my daughter, who after 5 years of marriage, she had been a perfect child all the way growing up, went to Bible college, married her sweetheart there. They were in college, Bible college together. They got married. After 5 years of marriage, just out of the clear blue, she informed us that she was leaving her husband. She was divorcing him. She was turning her back on the Lord. She was now living with another man, that a colleague at work, and it broke our hearts. The pain. And there was no reasoning with her. She would not receive any encouragement to take counsel. This is crazy. Just so quickly, all of a sudden, where is this coming from? That you're going to divorce your husband because you don't love him any longer. It just about destroyed my wife and I. And I was angry with my daughter. Very bitter for the pain particularly she caused my wife. The third was a couple, very, very close friends that we had, Christian friends in the city we lived in. And for some unknown reason, they just cut off our friendship like that. And that was painful. And the fourth was a colleague in ministry who was going around and accusing me of having lost my first love because I had to go back into secular employment, that he has lost his first love and all he's interested in is making money, and he's really compromised the gospel. And that was very painful. And as the Lord revealed this to me, I realized it was true. I was hurting. I didn't deserve this. And I was angry. I was bitter. I don't know that I was hateful, but perhaps close to it. And God was saying, you have a choice to make. You can either forgive each of these people from your heart, and I will free you. Or you can hang on to your justified bitterness and anger, and you'll be bound up. Well, by this time, I'm broken and I'm weeping, and God knows that this is the truth. On my knees, crying before Him. It was as though, in my own mind, each of those people were in that bedroom with me, and I said to them, Mom and Dad, before the Lord, I don't know why you wouldn't have told me that my grandmother died, but I forgive you from my heart. And I did the same with my daughter and our friends and this man who was making these accusations. And that night, I preached on freedom. Somebody said to me afterwards, boy, I've never heard you preach so well, or you've never seen so free in your preaching. That's a true story. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, what do these four scriptures have in common? Think about it. You don't have to answer out loud. Lord, increase our faith. That's what the apostle said. Lord, increase our faith. That's the first one. Secondly, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Third, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And fourth, whenever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. What do those four scriptures have in common? This one thing: forgiveness. Quickly look. Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 4. Verse 3, actually. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostles now, it was the apostles that said to the Lord, in light of what you just said, increase our faith. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Forgiveness again. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Verse 10. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. If indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Lest Satan to get an advantage over us. This is all in the context of forgiveness. But you said that well-known verse that we quote and pray so often, Matthew 18, verse 20. Mm-hmm. Whenever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, note that. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. Verse 20. There's a scripture I quoted. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him. See what's surrounding that verse, before and after? Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and with his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry, and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Now this next verse is very sobering. Out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus. So my heavenly Father also will do to each one of you if you do not from your heart forgive your brother his trespasses. Note two things there. That God likens unforgiveness to wickedness. You wicked servant. You wicked servant. I forgave you all your debt. This great massive debt. Incalculable. And you won't forgive this minimal debt. You wicked servant. Then he goes on to say that you shall be delivered to the tormentors. Beloved, unforgiveness, for whatever reason, justified or not, if you fail to forgive anyone, you will be tormented. You will be bound. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping it hurts somebody else. It is self-inflicted. You will suffer if you refuse to forgive. I was driving down US 1 just south of our city not too long ago, and I saw this outside of the volunteer fire department. Is this sign biblical? Can you read it? 9/11. Never forget. Never forgive. We understand the sentiment of it. But beloved, this is not biblical. Mm-hmm. Individually or nationally, if we take this position according to the teaching of Scripture and the words of the Lord Jesus, we as a nation will be before God. We will be bound. We will be tormented. Our problem as Christian people, and we're talking to Christian people this morning, and this parable doesn't need a lot of explicación. Doesn't need a lot of explanation. But our problem is that we minimize the debt forgiven us by a righteous, holy God, and we maximize the debt owed to us by others, don't we? I know, I've been in ministry almost 40 years, and I know no single reason why people do not have peace. You want forgiveness from God, and it is given to us completely in Christ Jesus. Amen? All of our sins, this massive debt that we could not pay. We deserve to be eternally separated from this holy, righteous God. And He paid that debt. He poured out His wrath on the head and person of the Lord Jesus Christ in our place. And as a result of that, we are justified. We are declared righteous and just in His sight, as though we had never sinned. Thank God for that. And the liberation of that, the freedom of that. But as a result of that, beloved, He says, now, in light of what I have done for you, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Forgive them. I will show you another picture I brought along. This woman's name is Natasha. She was attending a Bible college in southwest Siberia that I travel to frequently and teach at. After class one day, I don't know what prompted this, but she asked if she could speak to me. And through an interpreter, she told me that when she was 6 years of age, she was raped by her uncle. She's 38 years of age. She has two children. But this was drastically affecting her relationship with her husband. And she gave me some detail. But the root of it all was she was raped at 6 years of age. And that was a horrific thing. And I led her through Scripture along the lines that we're speaking this morning, that we have been forgiven by the Lord and washed and cleansed in His blood, and we have free access before God in His presence. And I said to her, you now have the choice to forgive your uncle. And she did. And God freed her. A woman in our church, she responded to the Lord's word to forgive any and all. And for her, it was her husband, who after 15 years of marriage and 4 children, came to her and said, "I am leaving you, Gina, for another man." But she chose to forgive him. Many of you, if not all of you, this morning have been hurt and you're bearing pain. Not the consequence of your own sin, but the result of someone else's sin. You didn't deserve this. You were innocent. You've been hurt. Hurt deeply. You've shed many tears. You've been broken. You're still carrying this pain over what someone very, very close to you has done. And those closest to us in our own family hurt us the most, don't they? And your heart is broken over that. And perhaps God, by His Holy Spirit, this morning, with His searchlight, is saying, you've fallen into that snare of bitterness and anger and resentment towards that person, towards those people. And whether you recognize it or not, it's having a binding effect on you, a tormenting. And there's only one way out. Simplistically, the path to peace is twofold. We must receive forgiveness from God, and we must grant forgiveness to other people. It's just that simple. But you say to me, "Sandy, you don't know what I've been through. You're asking me." No, I'm not asking you. You have to look into the Scripture and see what your Lord requires of you. But I will say this, that when we forgive other people, forgiveness is not necessarily reconciliation. You can forgive someone from your heart, but to be reconciled, that's a different story. That requires two people. So just because you are, from your heart, choosing to forgive that person, it doesn't mean you're going to have lunch with them after church every Sunday. Especially if there's not been any response on their part. Secondly, forgiveness does not mean that you are condoning their behavior. You are not, nor does God dismiss that behavior, that wickedness against you as being no big deal. Oh, it's insignificant. What was done to you was not insignificant. And God, in requiring of you to forgive that person, He does not condone or dismiss their behavior. Thirdly, reconciliation does not mean forgetting. But the good news is that when you forgive, the power and the pain of the unforgiveness and the hurt will be removed from you. Praise God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. True forgiveness is a choice. I know of no other way to say it. It is a choice that you make. You choose to hit the delete button. You choose to lay down the weapons. It's a choice. It is not a feeling. It is a hard choice. But I believe God is giving you a choice this morning. If you want to be free and to enjoy the liberty that is yours in Christ, if you want your prayer to be answered, to become more and more Christ-like, to be transformed into the image of your Son, when are we most God-like? We are most God-like when we say, as Stephen did, "Do not lay this sin against them, Lord." We are most Christ-like when we say, in the spirit of our Savior hanging from the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." True forgiveness is a choice. True forgiveness refuses to get even when you have opportunity. True forgiveness does what the Scripture says: "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay." But in the meantime, you love your enemies. Is that Bible? Mm-hmm. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you and do evil against you. Love them. Serve them. And by so doing, you will pour coals of fire upon their head. The issue is, I love God and I do not want to displease Him. I want His nature and His character to be manifest in me. This is why, whenever two or three are gathered together in my name, name always represents nature. Mm-hmm. Do you understand how important this is? When Jesus says, "Whenever I find people gathered together displaying my nature," especially in this realm of forgiveness, where they love one another, where they overlook one another's faults, they forgive one another. When I find people living like that, displaying, exemplifying my nature, I am there amongst them. I am there. This is not just some trite phrase we quote at the end of a prayer. I believe it's the single greatest reason why the presence of God isn't greater in the church, because there's so much resentment, there's so much bitterness towards one another, so much unforgiveness, which we believe is justified, so much movement in churches from one to another, because we have been offended. Rarely do people go to Matthew 18 and go through the reconciliation process when there's been offense in a church. I, as a pastor, I know this. Rarely do people come and discuss it and want to get together with the brother or the sister. What I get, if I get this at all, I get an email saying, "We're leaving the church." Have you heard the story, a cute story, about the man that was out on his yacht by himself, and he got off course and he got stranded. He got stranded on this desert island, and he was there for 25 years until finally he was rescued. And the captain of the ship that rescued him, as they were pulling away from the island, he said, "Well, up on that hill there, I see a hut. What is that hut?" He said, "Oh, that's my house. That's where I lived for these 25 years. That's my house." He said, "Oh." He said, "Beside your house, there's another building, another hut or something. What is that?" He says, "Oh, that's my church." That's the church I go to. He said, oh, he said, there's a third building, a third hut or something. He says, what is that one? He says, that's the church I used to go to. You laugh, but it's true, isn't it? True forgiveness. It is a choice. It refuses to get even when you can. But true forgiveness forgives everyone. If you have anything against anyone, forgive them, so said Jesus. Holy Spirit, search our hearts now, Lord. Search our hearts. Is there anything in my heart, Lord, towards any relative, towards any friend, towards any neighbor, towards any person, dead or alive, towards any pastor, anything against any employer, any boss, any church, any denomination, Lord, any organization, I'm going to forgive. There's a woman that I spoke to a while back, and she heard me preaching on forgiveness. And she said, I can forgive my father who raped me, but I cannot forgive myself. And I said, Anna, why can't you forgive yourself? She said, because he raped my daughter as well. And I cannot forgive myself because I wasn't there for my daughter. I can forgive him for doing it to me, but I can't forgive myself because I didn't protect her. I said, Anna, I said, has God forgiven you all of your sins? And she said, yes, I believe so. I said, how is it then that Almighty God can forgive you of all your sins and you can't forgive yourself for your sin? Are you greater than God? And she made a choice right there and then to forgive herself for not being there for her daughter. Well, this is a sobering message. It's a three-word message. Anything against anyone. For me, this is treasures old. I have preached this message more or less in many countries. In Russia, I preached to a church of over 600. There must have been 250 people that came forward in response. I preached it in Bolivia. 600 people there. More than 200 people came forward in response. One man afterwards, he told me that he'd been in a Bolivian concentration camp 40 years earlier, and he was describing what they did to him. And I won't tell you what they did to him, but you can imagine. And he said, for 40 years I have hated those guards and the way they abused me. But hearing the word of the Lord today, I chose to forgive them. And he said, I am free. He's crying. He said, I am free. Thank you, Lord. I am free. I preached this message to more than 1,200 people in England. And the response was incredible. And you've heard this message of forgiveness this morning. And I have no doubt, because it is so powerful and so necessary, that God is going to free you today as He's spoken and applied His word to your heart.